Let's just pray that the Lord would speak to us tonight. I don't know how you are feeling as you come to church this evening, but let's pray that we would have some stillness, some space to hear him speak to us. Lord, we thank you that your word can cut through all the noise and all the chaos in our lives and our world. We thank you for this moment tonight to hear you, to come to you, and we pray, Father, that you send your Spirit to take the words I'm going to say and to take your word and bring it alive to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's always difficult at Easter to find the right words to know what to say in a sermon, because for many of us who've been Christians for a long time, we've kind of heard the Easter story and the Holy Week reading so many times, it's very familiar. And I'm not claiming to kind of say anything new tonight, but when I was looking at Luke's gospel and reading Luke's account of Palm Sunday, there were two phrases that stood out. And as I kind of read some of the commentaries on it, there was two verses that particularly seemed to stand out from Luke's version of Holy Week and Palm Sunday. And I just want to use them tonight to bring out the message of peace, which is really at the heart of Easter and at the heart of the ministry of Jesus. So if you can look at Luke chapter 19... I'll just point out where the reference to peace comes. It's in verse 38, when we have the shouts of the crowds as Jesus enters Jerusalem. The crowds say, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And that's the quote from the psalm that we read earlier. And then Luke inserts this phrase, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So that's the first reference. And then the second reference to peace is that last verse that Fergus read for us from verse 42, as Jesus kind of gets through the crowds and enters Jerusalem down the Mount of Olives. He looks over the city and he weeps over the city and says, if even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. If they'd only known what would bring them peace. And I think those two verses, those two references to peace are really important, and I just want to focus on them tonight. Before we get any further, I'd like you just to think about that word peace. It's a kind of familiar word, and it's got all sorts of meanings. But just turn to the person next to you, or find someone to speak to if you're not sat right next to someone. What kinds of peace are they? What are the different dimensions of peace that we could experience or that could be being referred to, do you think, in these verses from Luke? Just take a moment to think about that, because peace is kind of multi-dimensional. All right, so just take a minute to chat about that. Okay, does anyone want to shout out to the group a particular aspect of peace that you've been thinking of or talking about?
The opposite to war.
Okay, the opposite to war. So there's peace is the opposite to war and violence. And in fact, the word for peace in the New Testament is used for that kind of peace, the absence of kind of conflict and war between nations. Yeah, anything else?
Not to worry, peace, and not worrying.
Okay, sure. And that's part of the New Testament word peace, isn't that peace that passes all understanding and impacts our minds and our thoughts. Any other aspect of peace? Quiet. Peace and quiet. Okay. That's not actually on my list of New Testament references, but it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because I don't think the New Testament concept of peace is necessarily about silence, but we should look at that a bit more.
When you mentioned it, I initially thought of kind of the settled feeling of like no worry, but then actually Joanna pointed out it's a lot more than that. It's the reconciliation between us and God, that kind of peace, which I guess has similarities.
Okay. Yeah. Reconciliation between us and God. Yeah. Topo.
Well, I think peace is manifestation of love, and God loves us. So that's why in his word is, love your enemy or love your neighbor. If you can love your enemy, that means you yourself peace, or peaceful. If you are peace within yourself, then you can radiate your peace to other people.
Sure. Okay. So there's that close link, between peace and love and relatedness, connection with others. Anything else? Oh, Susan.
I was just saying that peace is often thought of as passive and we just sort of have peace, but it's so often really active in that you've got to go out and make peace with people and actively seek to resolve conflict.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, and when we think about Easter and what Jesus did for us on the cross, that's got to be the ultimate in the personal sacrifice of making peace that Jesus made. And in Ephesians 2, verse 17, it says that Christ came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. The death and resurrection of Christ was all about establishing peace. It's a peace which impacts our relationships with one another, impacts relationships between nations within a country, and it's about a sense of harmony and unity with God. And that's what they were celebrating on Palm Sunday, that Jesus came to bring peace. And we're going to go through Luke's gospel and see how this theme of peace is really a thread for Luke as he reflects and writes about the life of Jesus. There's this kind of golden thread of peace coming through it. So turn to Luke chapter 1 and in verse 79. If you want to follow it, we'll just do a little bit of Bible study, and this might help you to stay awake on this Sunday evening if you just go through the Bible verses with me. Luke records this prophecy that was given about John the Baptist, how John was to be one who would shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. The purpose of John the Baptist's life was to guide people into the path of peace so that they would be ready to meet the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And it was great to kind of reflect on that this morning, because we heard Min Ling's testimony as she got baptized of how different members of this church had kind of helped her find Jesus and find that relationship with God and get peace with God, get reconciled with God. And it took a whole 3 years for her, from the first time she kind of came to St. John's to her being baptized today. But she'd been on that journey of finding that path of peace and reconciliation with God. And I guess all of us have been on a journey like that, or are going on a journey like that in our own relationship with God. And we need others who can guide us to find that right path to a relationship of reconciliation with God. Think about those who helped you, who guided you. Maybe give thanks to God for them this Holy Week and Easter. And let's think, how can we be individuals who help others find that path of peace, that path towards Christ, and take up that ministry of John the Baptist? When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we're very familiar with these words that were proclaimed from the heavens by the angels, aren't we, to the shepherds on the hillside. And Luke records them and includes the word peace. It's a celebration of peace coming to earth as Jesus is born. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. This long silence, this long separation between God and his people is now coming to an end with the birth of Jesus Christ. And that was something to celebrate. There was a party going on in heaven. And now on Palm Sunday, there's a party going on in Jerusalem as that peace, that kind of frontier of peace, is being established through what Jesus is about to do as he goes towards the cross. Then we've got Simeon at the end of Luke chapter 2. He is there, an old chap in the temple, one of the elders of Israel. And he's waiting for something. He's got a kind of absence of peace. And God's given him this restlessness, this longing to see the Messiah. And when Jesus is brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph, he says these words, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." And it's very powerful in a funeral. Quite often we'd read these words, because it just seems so appropriate. For some people, when they die, they have this sense of peace. Their life has come to fulfillment, and everything has kind of been drawn together. Not everyone dies like that. And, you know, so often in our lives, we've got unfulfilled ambitions. We've got kind of damage done to us and damage that we've done to others. We've got unfinished business in our lives. But what's so good about Simeon is that when he comes to the end of his life and when he gets connected with Jesus and sees him, there's a sense of completeness, of shalom, of peace, of fulfillment in his life. Maybe let's pray that we too would be taken to that place of peace and fulfillment in our lives, that we would die like Simeon died, with that sense of peace and wholeness. Another reference to peace in Luke's gospel is when this woman, who is a sinful woman, was brought to Jesus, and it's a story in Luke 7, and lots of people are scorning her for her sinful life, and lots of people are criticizing Jesus for letting this woman come near to him. But Jesus welcomes her, receives her, and lets her anoint his feet and draw near to him. And he says these words to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." She knew that when she met Jesus, her life was transformed. There were issues in her life that could be resolved because she'd met Jesus. She could receive forgiveness. She could receive healing. And she could walk away from that encounter with a new sense of peace and fulfillment and wholeness in her life. It's an amazing story. And Luke seems to want to deliberately mention that sense of peace and wholeness and shalom that comes from that encounter. And it really describes what happens to us when we meet the Lord, when we become Christians. We are healed. We are transformed. We are forgiven. And not everything happens in an instant, but the beginning of that healing and transformation starts. And our Christian life is that kind of living out of that message, go in peace. And we start to live a more peaceful life because of our encounter and our connection with Jesus Christ. In Luke 10, the word peace comes again as Jesus sends the disciples out. He sends them out in twos, and he sends them with to spread the message, the good news about the Messiah. And he says, go to different people's houses. And when you enter a house, say peace to this house. That's the message, that they should take peace. And they should look for people of peace, people who will receive that peace. And they should establish, if you like, kind of homes and bases of peace all around Jerusalem and around Judea. That seems to be the kind of mission that Jesus had in mind for his disciples. And it's, I think, a really nice picture for us that as we are sent out from this church as Christians, we are to go and find places where we can establish peace, that we can have homes and offices and workplaces of peace. We can build relationships that are healed, that where forgiveness is known, where reconciliation is experienced. That's what we're called to do, just like the first disciples were sent out. And Andrew mentioned at the beginning of the service that we're trying to have 100 hours of prayer, which starts tonight from 7 till 8, and then there's 6 other slots for people to gather for prayer. And that's, I think, one of the agenda items in our prayer over the next 2 days, is that we would be able to take peace into our community, into our homes, into our neighbourhoods, and to those who really need to know peace, just like the first disciples were sent out with peace. The kind of last reference in Luke that I wanted to mention about peace was this one, and it kind of really connects with what Andrew was saying at the beginning of the service. It's this locked door. The disciples, after the resurrection on Easter Sunday, they were amazed, they were bewildered and a bit confused, and they kind of hide, don't they? And they hide behind locked doors, and yet Jesus comes to them. He breaks through the locked door, and the message he takes is the message of peace. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." The message of Easter is peace, and Topo referenced the close connection between peace and love. But I think at Easter we get this close connection between peace and hope. When Jesus said peace to the disciples in that encounter, he was giving them hope for the future. And we know what a powerful message that was for them, because the disciples went on to proclaim the resurrection, to establish the church. And we are here today because those first disciples received that message of peace. And ever since then, that reconciliation to God has been established in different people's lives. And the world has been changed, and our lives have been changed as a result. The message of peace is powerful, and it breaks through those locked doors, those barriers. And a new future is opened to us because of the peace that was established by Jesus through his death and resurrection. So peace is this golden thread through Luke's gospel, and it's a kind of key feature of the life of Jesus. Have we received that peace? I guess that's the question for all of us. Do we know that peace that passes understanding? Have we got that reconciliation with God? Have we got that sense of forgiveness and freedom and wholeness at work in our lives? And if we're not sure, and if we've lost sight of that, then this Easter time is a great season to re-establish peace with God, re-establish peace in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our homes. The second verse that was verse 42 of our reading that mentions peace is the last kind of thing that I wanted to say tonight. So Jesus is really moved, he's really emotional as he comes over the top of the Mount of Olives and enters Jerusalem, because he's going there with one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to establish peace, an eternal peace, the peace of heaven he wants to bring to earth through his death and resurrection. And yet he knows that his ministry, his message is going to be rejected. And he weeps over the division and the violence and all the problems in his city. If only you had known what would bring you peace. And this picture is a picture of the chapel on the Mount of Olives, and the chapel's called Jesus Wept. And it's a really moving place, actually, and it's a moment, if you ever go to Jerusalem, to kind of sit and be quiet and look over the city and think of all the things that are going on there today, and pray for peace. But what kind of came to my mind as I was reflecting on Jesus' tears was that Jesus, I think, was tearful. He was weeping because people had missed the point, and they were so busy with other agendas, their own agendas, political agendas and personal ones, that they weren't able to receive his ministry and his message. And I think the Lord may weep over our lives sometimes when we've lost sight of the main thing, the main purpose of life, which is for all of us who are Christians, is to preach peace and to establish peace in the world. We've got that unique calling and purpose as Christians to take peace and bring the message of peace to others. But so often we're busy with other agendas, in the church and in our personal lives, our own ambitions, our own pain, our own difficulties getting in the way and distracting us. And my prayer for us this Easter time is that we would listen to those tears that Jesus wept, those cries that he brought out on the Mount of Olives, and that we would pursue peace and get hold of the centrality of the gospel. Let's pray as we go into this week of prayer and preparation before Easter, that God would give us the right focus in our lives, give us the right focus in the church, and help us to take the message of peace so that it really makes a difference in the lives of others. Amen.